You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Seattle Mariners did not really, they weren't really buyers and they weren't really sellers at the trade deadline, but they did make some moves. So let's talk about that. I'm Allison Footer here with Greg Johns. Greg, I was kind of chuckling as I was going through and reading up on everything, because like technically at the deadline they didn't do anything, but they had been pretty active like a day earlier. I mean, they did make some moves. So I guess the Wade Miley trade, I think that was the one that sort of stood out. So what was their thinking behind that? They obviously got a pitcher in return who they have some control over, and I guess that's really was that their goal?
Yeah, I mean that was an interesting one, and it's kind of hard to put a finger on, really. I mean, Miley is a guy that they did have control of for another year, but at a price, and I just think they weren't real happy with what they were getting out of Wade Miley, to be honest, and felt like they wanted to go with a different guy. They brought in Ariel Miranda from the Orioles, who's a 27-year-old Cuban that we haven't seen a lot of. He pitched a couple innings, interestingly, against the Mariners earlier this year. His only big league experience. Kind of largely an unknown as far as, you know, those of us who haven't seen AAA pitching from the Orioles. So he's a guy in AAA. He's going to come up. He's going to start on Thursday. He's going to take Miley's spot at least for one turn before Taijuan Walker comes back. So Seattle fans will get a chance to see a little bit of that return on Thursday at Safeco Field. But, that one a little harder to put my finger on, you know, exactly what they're looking for. Sometimes trades are made and you don't understand 100% what the thinking was, and you may never know. But I guess bottom line, they weren't real pleased with what they got out of Miley and felt they were ready to move on there, and went with a young lefty, and Ariel Miranda, who I guess not really that young at 27, which is kind of the interesting part of it.
Yeah, I liked how Jerry DePoto was very realistic with his comments, basically saying that they were realistic about their playoff chances. And regarding August and September, he said a lot of things will have to break right for us. So this is really a time, I guess, for the team to be very cautious, the organization as a whole to be very cautious, and to keep their eye on the future beyond the season. I know it's disappointing because I think they were expecting a little more out of the team this year. Not that they're out of anything, by the way, but it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride. So I guess they need to just stay focused on next season and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing, Allison, with them is they believe in that core group they have of Cano, Cruz, Felix, and Seager, and the tough thing with those guys is, you know, the first three of those that I mentioned are getting up in age, so the window is not forever there, and I feel like probably next year that, you know, if they can pull it off this year, fantastic. Obviously, as Photo says, a lot of things would have to go right, but rather than selling a lot of pieces at this point and kind of busting things up, they feel like that window is there, and it'll be, you know, one thing with Jerry, he will make more moves. He will have more ideas. I think we'll see moves in August. I think we didn't see some things at the trade deadline. He just didn't feel like they were going to get the return that they wanted. You know, he said we could have been sellers. We could have sold off, but we didn't feel like we were getting what we wanted back. So, you know, you don't want to make moves that aren't what you want. And so sometimes it's better to not make moves in those situations. So they'll play things in August, see if they can get some guys through the waivers and make some moves after that. And then you got the off season when you can really make a chance to build. They've had this year to kind of see what they've got. Now this group, this new organization, has a lot better feel for what they've got going forward. So they do like the nucleus they have, and that's why we didn't see a lot of moves on trade deadline. Is just, they just weren't ready to bust that thing up and start from scratch. They like what they want. They want to keep building on that.
And speaking of some of the core guys, so I do want to update do an update on, like, Taijuan Walker. Is he coming back into the rotation this weekend?
Yeah, it's looking like that. Okay. He threw 4 2/3 in Tacoma, looked good on Monday. So having thrown Monday, the soonest he could come back would be Saturday. That would be his fifth day. So I expect to see him. They haven't announced their rotation yet coming into the weekend, but I suspect we'll see him sliding back in there this weekend. And that will be big because, as you said, moving Miley, you know, creates an opening. Their rotation, which we've talked about all year, kind of being the key to things. And they're, you know, that's why DePoto says a lot of things are going to have to go right, because you look at them right now, and Felix is back, but he, you know, just hasn't been sharp in his three outings. And he's still kind of working back. Iwakuma, who's been very good all year, but his last outing, three innings, didn't look too good against the Cubs and had some tightness in his shoulder. So they don't think that's anything big, but you kind of start to raise your eyebrow a little bit on that. And Miley's gone. Taiwan dealing with the foot. And, James Paxton has been, the guy that wasn't even in the rotation, probably their most consistent starter in the last couple of weeks, was dynamic his last outing in a game they lost at the end, but he was outstanding. So Paxton's been very good. So you kind of like the pieces, but you kind of wonder sometimes, as you get your depth gets thin and you get some question marks with some of those guys health wise as you start to hit these last 2 months. So yeah, you got to keep that group together, and Taiwan getting back obviously a big part of that.
There's a when we try to explain what it's like to go through a baseball season, because and I know being in Texas, I have to constantly be explaining that this is not football in the intensity level. You have to be so even keeled, and you can't burn yourself out from game to game. So there's 162 of these, as we know, and I was kind of laughing at just what the Mariners have gone through lately. So they have this the game in Chicago when the Cubs came back, and then the Mariners ended up losing that game, and it was like such a downer. And then as we're recording this last night, with the Red Sox, they score 5 runs in the 8th inning, and then it's like this elation. So it's like this whole wave of emotion. How hard is it for players to just the team in general to just keep going?
Well, you win one of those, and you're feeling on top of the world. You're right. You mentioned the blowing the 3-run lead in Chicago to the Cubs, and it was a punch in the gut. But even the night before was, if you go back one day before that, Leonis Martin comes in, 2 outs, bottom of the 8th, down 1-0, and gets the double off Aroldis Chapman. And that turned out to be a huge win. I mean, that was people saying, this is a game you can turn your season on. This is, the next night they blow the 3-run lead ninth, and everybody's saying, oh, this is. They're done. They can't, now they come back and they blow another one against the Red Sox. The following night, they score 5 to win it. So, yeah, it is a roller coaster. And as players, I think the players understand better than everybody, because they do this and they've been doing it. 162, you're going to have those big ones. You're going to have the down ones, and you can just kind of ride it out. And the big ones don't mean you're going to clinch the pennant the next night. And the losses, the tough losses, don't mean you're done. They just, you really do have to turn the page. And I admire Major League Baseball players for the ability to do that, because certainly as fans, I think fans know, ride that roller coaster it's tough being a fan as well. But I think players to have that understanding and be able to put that aside is really a key. When they talk about the grind, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you try to keep the emotions out of it, but like, how can you not? I mean, some games are just so exhausting, and then some games are so that you get that adrenaline rush going through you. So anyway, we are now in August. So now this is when September, there's it's a different level, but August is the toughest month to get through. And so I guess this is really, I mean, do you kind of agree with that? It's hot everywhere. The players are now tired. They haven't quite gotten into that like sprint toward the finish line. And so August seems to be the toughest month to get through.
It usually is. That's when they start talking about the dog days. But I guess Mariner-wise, if you're talking specifically there, they played a pretty rough stretch here. They do have a little. Their schedule seems to turn a little bit for them here in August, so that could be a big factor. Once they get through with the Red Sox, I think 10 of their next 13 are against the A's and the Angels, who are bottom of the division. You would like to think they could make some ground there if they can get playing well and pass that some teams that you'd like to think they could play well against. They've done, they're kind of holding serve, 53 and 52 as we speak, and kind of getting through this. People think that last road trip was tough, but they're 4-4 in Toronto, Pittsburgh, and the Cubs, and those are three pretty good teams, and they're holding their own against those. They just kind of need to get on that hot streak like they had early. If they get that, a lot of things can happen, but to do that, as we talked before, going to take that pitching to be real good, and I think that's the key, because their offense continues to be pretty darn solid, and they're putting up pretty good numbers there. And we saw Cano last night, big 3-run shot to put him over the top against the Red Sox, and he's continuing to do what he's doing, and they got the other guys chipping in well, and it seems to be a pretty good combination there offensively. So I think pitching, we'll see how they do down the stretch. They do have young Edwin Diaz now in the closer role, and that's pretty fascinating. Certainly, you talk about dog days of August. You throw a guy in there, a 22-year-old throwing 100 miles an hour in the ninth inning, and suddenly everybody's perking up a little bit, and he's kind of provided a pretty good jolt of energy here as he moves into that closer role.
Yeah, I mean, we should note that as we're talking, the Mariners are above 500, and they are in a wild card race, so I'm most certainly not just focusing on next year. So I'm hanging in there with them. So, Greg, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We will catch up with you next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.